Last night, I decided to go on a little run, enjoy some of the fall colors. And so if you're familiar with the Lebanon area, you got the YMCA there, and there's a countryside bike trail that links up with other trails in Ohio. So I go on that run thinking, you know, I'll see a lot of beautiful scenes and enjoy the fall. And as I was starting my run and kind of going along, I saw some other men kind of coming towards me, also running. And we're sort of going to pass each other along the trail. And as I'm passing by them, the first two men kind of looked at me a little strange. And I was trying to, okay, just focus. Don't pay attention to those these guys there. But then more men came up, and they started, like, sort of unsolicited, started cheering me on. Like, okay, this is kind of odd. Running, I've never really experienced this before, going along the trail. And they go, come on, man, you can do it. You got this. I'm like, thanks, you know, and kind of going along. And then finally, I realized after this occurs several times, a few of them had their running bibs on the front of them. And so this was in the evening. It was kind of a weird time, but there was some sort of run going on. I didn't notice it before because some of them had the running bib attached to their back. And so I keep going along, and they keep, you know, come on, brother, you got it. You got this, and kind of cheering me on. Because I realize, whatever, they're doing some sort of loop, and so it looks like I'm 2 or 3 miles behind them. And they think, you know, wow, this guy really needs some help, because I was at the beginning of my run, which would have been the beginning of theirs too, now at the end of theirs. And so really trying to cheer me on. And there's no way to, I've got headphones in, there's no way to stop and explain to them, no, I'm not part of this run. And so several of them, I'm passing by them, they keep giving me fist bumps, like, yeah, yeah. And so I finally decided, on my way back, I realized they were doing loops over and over again. I looked it up. It was a race where, like, every hour yesterday, they would do a 4-mile loop, and it was, like, last man standing. So they were going to keep doing that loop over and over again every hour. And so on my way back from the run, I'm coming in, and I'm, you know, passing them once again. And again, they think I'm, you know, they have rested for, like, 20 minutes. They think I'm way at the end and all of that. And so they start cheering me on. And so I finally decided, if you can't win, can't beat them, just join them. And so as I'm running, I just start going, you know. But while I was out there, it was absolutely beautiful. And I love fall. I love just the scenery of fall. And what it does for me is it kind of puts you in this state of awe. Like, you're just out there, it's beautiful, it's restful. If you've ever been out on the Lebanon YMCA trail, it's just got beautiful scenes out there of farmland, of wooded area, of creeks. It's just a beautiful place out there. And what those beautiful scenes do for us is that they bring us to this point of awe, and often of this, we experience a feeling of gratitude, of how small we are. And if you're a disciple of Jesus, it brings us to a point where we feel the bigness and greatness of our God and His creation. Perhaps you've experienced that if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon and you've stood on the southern rim and you've been there and you've just seen the vast expanse before you. Or perhaps if you've been to a place like Gatlinburg where the Great Smoky Mountains and you've seen how great and how big they are. Or perhaps out somewhere out in Colorado to see a great mountain range. Or it could even be just a serene place like your backyard or a park where you just see the beauty and we're just impressed by that. I would even venture to say it could be the city. Yesterday, Cassie and I went down during the afternoon, and we went and walked Smale Park and some of the other Yeatman's Cove and some of the other places there, and just with all the fall going on and changes. But with those cities, even as we think about that sort of man's creation, but still it just brings this sense of awe, because realize we as God's creatures have joined in creating and building, and sort of just makes us, it puts it in perspective for those of us of faith. Or perhaps, you know, we've had a lot of babies born in our congregation. Cassie and I just got to go down and see our niece, her brother's new child, and sort of that awe of feeling those little hands wrap around one of your fingers, and you just feel this sense of awe, this sense of gratitude, and realizing how good and how great our God is. And that's what these moments do. These moments bring us and lead us to places of awe and gratitude. We've been doing this series on prayer, and someone has said about prayer that there's really three types of prayer. That might be somewhat simplistic, but what they said is this, is that there's three types of prayer. There's prayers that say help, there's prayers that say thanks, and there's prayers that say wow. Now, if you're like me, most prayers probably have all sorts of those elements sort of intermixed together. And again, this might be a little bit simplistic, but I think generally it helps us look at prayer from a good perspective, that many of our prayers are saying help. Those are some of the prayers we talked about last week, as we talked about prayers of petition, asking God for things, asking him to, in the name of Jesus, to act on your behalf. And we talked about prayers of intercession, right? Going before God and asking him to act for others in the name of Jesus, right? Petition and intercession. Now this morning, I want to talk about the other two here, the prayers of thanks, the prayers of wow. And what we might call those, and what they have been called historically, are prayers of adoration, or prayers of praising God, and prayers of thanksgiving. I want to talk about those two briefly this morning, and talk about how we can bring those elements into our communication with God, or how we can, hopefully they are part of our communication with God now, but how can we dive deeper into prayers of adoration and prayers of thanksgiving. Let's define this a little bit. When we're talking about prayers of adoration, we're talking about prayers of praise, where we praise God just as we were a moment ago, as we're singing to him, we're praising him, we're adoring God, we're lifting his name up. And in prayers of adoration, we're acknowledging who God is. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Right? That's a statement of adoration. We're adoring God as our Father, and we're saying, hallowed, may your name be holy. May your name be considered holy in all of creation. We're lifting God's name. We're praising his name. And we're doing that as we're praising his name. It's those prayers in which we praise the name of God and exclaim his character and his qualities. And we see this all throughout the Psalms, which is the prayer book of the Israelites, but also the prayer book of the early church. And we have Psalms such as Psalm 8 in verse 1, where it says, "Our Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." This is a prayer, a psalm of adoration. Will you read that with me? "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And as we praise the name of God, we lift it up, we're adoring him, we're exclaiming his name, his character, who he is. But then as we look at prayers of thanksgiving, and this is slightly different if you want to kind of, as if we could dissect prayers in this way, but it's acknowledging what God has done. If we're thinking of adoring, we're saying who God is. When we think of thanksgiving, giving thanks, we're acknowledging what he has done. What he has done through history, what he has done in creation, what he has done in the history of God's people, but also what he has done in your own life, in the life of our church here, and what he's doing, being aware of what God is currently doing. We give thanks. We acknowledge the deeds that God has done in our life. And again, we see psalms and prayers all over Scripture that highlight this sort of prayer of thanksgiving. And we see that in Psalm 107 and verse 21. It says, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love," and get this, "his wonderful deeds for mankind." Will you read that with me? "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind." And so, as we think about what we're challenging you to do in this series of prayer today, series on prayer, is what we're challenging you to do today is to praise God for who he is and what he does. And the idea of adoration and giving thanks in Scripture, really, as I've tried to make a distinction here, that distinction really isn't all that clear in Scripture. As these things are sort of intermingled, as we adore God, we're giving thanks. As we praise his name, we're giving thanks. And we see this in the Psalms as well, where these two ideas just come together, where it's so natural as we exclaim who God is, it's so natural to follow up by giving thanks for what he's done. And we see this in Psalm 9 and verse 1. It says, "I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart, and I will tell of your wonderful deeds." Verse 2. "I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High." Will you read these two verses with me? "I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds." verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. And so this is what we're called to do. We're called to come in prayer, and part of one of the things that we pray for is that we actually come before God and we praise and lift up his name. And these two things go hand in hand. But this all sounds great, and I imagine that this is already a regular part of your prayer life as you come before God, and we experience that when we come before him in the assembly here at Northeast. We pray these prayers. We praise God. We just sang about it. We give thanks. We just sang about it. But when you talk about your own personal relationship with God and what this looks like day in and day out of coming before him and praising him, coming before him and adoring him, and coming before him and giving thanks, what I want to speak to for just a moment is sort of the challenge that goes along with this. Is because as we are fallen and we're broken, we struggle at times to live with gratitude. And we struggle at times to intentionally give thanks. Yeah, we can say, thank you, God, for all you've done for us. Maybe that might be a phrase in our prayer. But it's a challenge as we get in busy life, day in and day out. It can be a challenge to actually name the things that God is doing in our life. And it can be a challenge, as we talk about lifting up the name of God, it can be challenged regularly to praise God for who he is. And to add to that, not only is it a challenge because we're broken, but it's also a challenge in light of modern society. It's that modern society makes adoration and giving thanks difficult. And you look at the busy society, and we've talked about that some in this series, the craziness that's going on in our world. You turn on the news, the sort of anxiety that our time has found itself in, it can be challenging to set aside time to adore God, to praise his name. You know, one of the things that I brought up for being a something that draws us into awe, into gratitude, is cities. But this is, you know, a snapshot of Cincinnati, but it's a hectic life living in a metropolitan city. And I have to say this too, even living in rural areas, they experience it too because of social media. But there's all sorts of modern problems. When we think about the stress of daily living on the interstate and all those things, it can be easy to experience burnout and to not be driven to prayers of adoration, to not be, to go about life, not sort of giving thanks as we're sitting in traffic, being stuck in traffic, being late to the next thing that we have to do. And you add other challenges like social media and our phones and how addicted we are to technology and the noises and distractions we have of television and other outlets of media. And it's not a surprise that at times we feel the struggle to just sit in silence, as we already had a lesson talking about silence, but sitting in silent prayer, adoring God, praising his name, and reflecting in gratitude of what he has done for us. And he added that, the busy schedules, the calendars that are packed, you know, sitting down and doing this takes time. And we simply don't have room for it. But the result of that, the result of not setting aside the time, the result of these challenges that pull us away from adoring and living in gratitude and giving thanks, is that we ultimately go down a path away from God. And as the Apostle Paul was an early church planter, an early church missionary. He wrote to the church at Rome, and he was talking to them about the sort of depravity that humanity has experienced, the fallen, broken world we live in. And he said, part of the problem is this. He says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, they didn't praise his name, nor gave thanks to him. And here's the point I want to make, is that when we fail to praise God regularly, we forget who he is and what he has done. And that has all sorts of implications for our life as we end up going down a path where we might even say we're disciples of Jesus, that we live and serve God. However, there's no real relationship. There's no real gratitude that's in our life. That's the danger when we forget about him and we fail to do this. But if we're honest, in sort of this busy life that we live, modern challenges of social media and all that, to be honest, and we work more than people have ever worked in history, and you look at all the things that we have going on, if we're honest, Maybe we feel that adoration and thanksgiving can seem sort of unproductive. Like, what's being done in those prayers of adoration and thanksgiving? We get intercessory prayer. We get petition because we're asking God to act. And we're hopeful, we're anticipating God to actually do something when we ask him to act. But that seems productive. And from a modern American standpoint, I kind of like that. It's productive. It's doing something. We're asking God to be productive in the world on our behalf, to produce things in our life. Right? We like that. And in a society that's built on production and producing and gaining more, getting new things, never being content with what we have, to think about gratitude, to think about adoration, those type of prayers, honestly, just may not seem that attractive to us. So what's the purpose? Does God need us to praise him? Does the creator of all things need a thank you every once in a while? Like, why do we pray prayers of adoration and prayers of thanksgiving? And here's what I want to suggest, is that prayers of adoration, praising God, lifting up his name, and prayers of thanksgiving are far less about God needing our praise, although perhaps it's him wanting relationship with us, but it's more about what is being done in us when we do praise God and when we do give thanks. You see, when we adore God, when we praise his name, we're reminded that he adores us. Because oftentimes when we're praising God and you see the prayers of adoration in Scripture, it's all about how God is good. He's kind. He's gracious. With an implication, he's gracious towards us. He's kind to us. He's good to us. It's a reminder that when we praise the name of God, it's a reminder to us as well that God loves us and he wants to be involved in our lives. And when we give thanks to God, we are reminded what he has done and what he was doing. That God asks us to give him thanks, not because he's underappreciated and he wants to be appreciated, but God calls us to give thanks because he wants us to come to him in relationship and constantly be reminded of what's before us, the mission before us, and what God is doing in our life and what he's calling us to do as well. And I'll make one last point here. is that there's a difference between simple gratitude or being grateful and giving thanks. In other words, right, what we're calling you to here this morning isn't just to have a gratitude practice or a attitude of gratitude where you go about, you don't do harm because you want to use your life for good because good has been done to you. And we're not calling you to just go out and to do good unto others because good has been done to you. But we're calling, all those things are good. And yes, we want you to do those things. But what we're calling you to this morning is that to go to God in prayer and to actually give thanks. Name the things God is doing in your life. Bring them before God. Thank him. Be appreciative. Be grateful. But actually name those things. Because it's in those moments where we adore God that we realize we're adored by God. And when we give thanks to God, he renews our vision and allows us to see what he's doing in our lives and doing in the world around us. So this morning, I leave you with a few challenges here as we think about how to make space for praising God and giving thanks in your prayers. That prayer is not just about making requests to God, although that's an important part of prayer. But prayer is also about just coming before God and praising him. And when we do that, we are transformed from the inside out as we spend time in relationship with God. And so first, just very bluntly, take time in your prayers to tell God who he is, to praise him, proclaim him as we see the great psalmists in Scripture do, and to recognize before him what he has done in your life. And I'm talking about just spontaneous prayer. Just think through the things that God has done. Perhaps if you have a practice of journaling, or if not, just grab a piece of paper, just write down, right, the simple practice of gratitude, writing down the ways God has blessed you and the ways that you perceive him working in your life. And then the third thing is a practice I want to recommend to you that has been a practice throughout the last several hundred years of Christian history, and that is what's been called the examen. Or an examen practice. And the word there just simply, I believe it's French for examine or to examine. And this is simply a spiritual practice for how to do what we're talking about this morning, how to come before God on a daily basis, on a daily basis in gratitude and adoration. And this is very similar to, this is a part of the like a rule of life, as we talked about several weeks ago. It's just a practice to help you come and be before God in stillness and in gratitude. And so the first thing, if you were to do this on your own this week, you'd sit down and you just pause. Be still. Sit in the presence of God. Take a few deep breaths and pause. Second, spend a few moments remembering. Reflect on your day. This is often a practice that many have done at the end of the day. And so at the end of the day, sit down, get on your knees in prayer, do whatever you're comfortable with, and pause, be still. But then begin to reflect on your day and to think about all that has happened, unjudgmentally, just sort of going through the day, what has happened this day. The third thing is then to examine. Take note of what's happened, the good and the bad, along with the emotions that came along with it. Just go through the day, examine it. Say, what happened here? Was this supposed to, should I have done this? Should I have done that? Not in a judgmental way where you're critiquing yourself, but just do it. Take note of what has happened. And then notice, when did you see God work? What were the things that God did in your life this day? And now, of course, that might always be said with a perhaps, but just continually looking, giving credit to God, maybe he's answered a prayer. Maybe he opened a door, right? Where did you see God in your life today? And then the fourth, called simply greeting, but simply looking forward to tomorrow and looking at the future with hope, recognizing that God is working in you today and he's continuing to shape and form you to the person you're going to become. And again, this is all about simply looking and reflecting on what God is doing and then taking a moment to give thanks. Now, this is not something that your prayer life should exclusively be, but simply a practice that people have done throughout Christian history that has been helpful to conjure up gratitude and reflection upon God. Now, in conclusion this morning, and we're going to end with communion just in a moment, but in conclusion, as I think about my run yesterday, as I went out there and was sort of in awe of all that was going on, I kind of came at an impasse. And if you've ever ran that trail, Jay Headley has done many times. He was probably one of those guys lapping me yesterday. But as I was thinking about the run that I had before me, I knew that if I would go further, there would be a lot greater landscape, and I wanted to see it. I wanted to see what it looked like in the fall. You know, there's sort of just vast fields, sort of rolling hills in that part of the countryside. But I knew that if I went there, that it was going to be, there's going to be like two or three really big hills for me to get to that point in order to see sort of the most beautiful parts of that trail. And so I had to decide. I could go home and not run the hills and the valleys, or I could press forward and get to see greater pictures of beauty and be in awe. And so I decided to do it. I went down the hills and the valleys, and then, of course, I had to come back and run back up them. And it was worth it. And as we think about all that goes on in life, maybe perhaps one of the reasons we sometimes struggle with prayers of adoration and thanksgiving is simply the reality of life. Yes, there's the challenges we've talked about, but we go through these hills, these valleys, these difficulties. And it's in those moments, it's hard to conjure up adoration. It's hard to conjure up thanksgiving. But I don't think we need to fear that. As we go into the hills and the valleys of life, we realize that in those moments, as we reflect and we try to see where God is, even in the dark moments, it's beyond those moments that we end up rising up to the highest moments of prayer, the highest moments of adoration and of gratitude that we've ever experienced. So this morning, as we partake in communion with one another, if you'll take your cups before us, as we partake in communion, I want to challenge us to have a sort of a moment of examine with one another. Take a moment as we'll just have a few minutes of silence, a few moments of silence, I should say. Pause. Think back to the last 24 hours. You know, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians, this being a moment of reflection as we come before and we consume the Lord's Supper with one another, that it's for a moment of reflection. It's for us to examine ourselves and where we are in our devotion to God. So take a moment, pause, think back. Remember what's happened in the last 24 hours. Do it with thanksgiving. Examine the good, the bad, the emotions, the frustrations, the happiness that might have gone with those moments. And think back to the things that happened within yourself and the things that maybe happened last 24 hours, last 7 days that were outside of your control. And take notice. What were the ways you saw God moving through those moments? What were the ways you saw God acting on your behalf in those moments? Whether it was an opportunity, whether it was a friend, a comfort that you didn't expect to be there, whatever the moment was, that moment that brought you to awe, where you noticed God's presence. And lastly, look forward to the rest of today and tomorrow and be thankful. Be thankful that we are able to proceed in the power of the Spirit who's within us because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross, that he has made a sacrifice and has empowered us to live and has put air into our lungs. Let's proceed in gratitude and in adoration. Let's pray for the bread with one another. Our Father in heaven, we praise your name. We're so thankful for all that you do in our life, Father. You are so good. You're gracious. You're kind. You work in ways that are far beyond our comprehension, but we know you do by faith and because the scriptures you've given us declare it. And Father, we're thankful the ways you are working. We're thankful for the ways that you have brought us before you. And Father, specifically now, we're thankful for this bread. We're thankful for the sacrifice Christ has made, that he came in the flesh. And he taught us, he gave us an example. He was involved in the flesh in people's real life, Father. And then humanity, we took that flesh and we broke it. People rejected him. They took him and they beat him, Father, and he made the sacrifice on our behalf in the flesh, in his real body. Father, we're thankful that you have changed the world through that action. And Father, we pray that you would change us, transform us, that we, although in the flesh, that we would live a life empowered by the Spirit, and that you would continue to renew us as you renew all of creation. Father, we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.